Well, we're in, as I said, First Chronicles, and I know some of you are saying we're not done with Mark yet, and I'm aware of that. But with this Thursday being Thanksgiving, I started in Mark. Monday, we were in Mark still. But as the week progressed and we moved on, I said, man, with Thanksgiving, I find it hard not to stop and take a special Sunday, especially this Sunday, to thank the Lord for his unspeakable blessings that he pours out on us. I said a few weeks ago, and I'll say it again today, and I truly believe that our God is doing 10,000 things a day to bless you. And if you perceive one or two or three of them, you are pretty spiritually mature. People go through their whole day and I'll say, what's the Lord speaking to you about today? He's not speaking to me. Oh, he's speaking. Bingo. You're not listening. But he is speaking. We have a God that speaks, and God said, and God said, and God said, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. And Jesus began teaching them. We have a God that speaks. The fault is not in his speaking. It's the fault in our not listening, or our listening and, well, how can I twist around that? You know, what can I do to manipulate those words and language to get do what I want? That's the problem we have. So I wanted today to really take time to just stop and praise the Lord and thank the Lord. And I did send my screens in last night. And I'm looking on the first one. We should be in First Chronicles. On the board up there, it should say 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Any second, I'm sure it's going to say that. There we go. Thanksgiving to the Lord. We're going to start practicing this. And it's a Thanksgiving. I know this Thursday, we as a nation celebrate Thanksgiving. But as Christians, we should always be in a spirit of Thanksgiving. We should always have a spirit of gratitude. Every day, 365 days a year, and in a leap year, 366 days a year. Always, always, always. I say that Thanksgiving is not a point in time. Thanksgiving is what's on our heart. It's a point of our heart. And if we have a heart that's always grateful and thankful to the Lord, you will always be in a spirit of gratitude. And I was thinking this morning, I was even thinking, with the hot and cold running water and the house and air conditioning and open the refrigerator and food. And if you look back here on the table, there's more food than we have. And I was thinking, the Lord has blessed us abundantly in everything that we have. And if you're alive today, and you are, you're here. If you're in today, people that live today, the kings of the world did not have what we had just 50 years ago, 100 years. We have the best this world has ever offered. And God has chosen, for whatever reason, have you born at this time. Who liked air conditioning Friday when it was 89 degrees out and like 80% humidity on November 18th or something? Yeah, they didn't have that, 50, 60, 70 years ago. God has abundantly blessed us. And we sometimes so often look at the problems of this world and the problems in our life that aren't even problems. But I was kidding around with Bruce. He just left, but I was kidding. We had lunch this week, Bruce Aligar, and we went over somewhere and I ordered a BLT and it didn't have bacon on it. I know. Blasphemy. And so I said, this BLT doesn't have bacon. We don't put bacon on our BLTs. It was at the Black Walnut right over here. They use pork belly fat or something. I want pork. I know. So I was bruised. Oh, you had a quick complaint, sir?
Their version is bread, lettuce, tomato.
I guess, yeah. And guac. Or avocados. My daughter has a BLT with guacamole or avocado. It's good. But in any event, so then he ordered his sandwich. He ordered a pastrami. Comes out on white bread. Where's the rye? And I was saying, look at our complaints. A BLT with pork belly or pig belly on instead of bacon, and you got a pastrami on white instead of rye, and we're complaining. You talk about first world problems, huh? But my point of all this is to say we need to be so grateful and thankful to our Father in heaven. He is just so abundantly blessed, each one of us. I'm going to say this. I mentioned this to Don earlier. If at some point today you have a 15, 20 second, not a 15 minute, but a 15, 20 second, I just want to praise the Lord or say something, what he's done. Don's going to have a mic and he's going to get it over to you. Our scripture today is going to say, let the people praise the Lord. Let us tell others about him. Let us speak of his wonderful deeds. I said last week, I never call this a stage. I call it a platform. And I want, if you weren't here last week, or if you, as a reminder, if you were, I am not the one performing today. You are. You are performing your worship to an audience of one, and his name is Jehovah. And he's watching your worship today. And are you going to just sit there traditionally with your hands under your backside and quiet, and will we have decorum? And I want today to be a day of praise. I want it to be loud. We sang that song today, shout to the Lord. We don't shout. Yeah, thank you, the Lord. Yeah, I don't want to offend anybody. I want to have people look at me. If you're praising, you need to praise. Don't worry about what the person next to you is thinking or doing or saying. If it's from your heart, you praise as you feel like you need to praise. On any Sunday, we should do that, but especially on today. This day that the whole nation stops, and so many people that don't go to church, maybe even people that aren't saved, they give thanks. It's Thanksgiving. So real quick, the background of this. So if you've got a 15, 20 second what the Lord's done, be thinking about that. I'm telling you that now, so when we get there, you're not, I got something to say. So be putting your thoughts together if you want to say something. And I would hope that we have numerous people up here saying, I want to give the Lord a praise about this or that, or he got me through this, or he saved me, or my kids. Or we need to be a people that tell others, look what great deeds the Lord's done to me. And you're not only doing it to praise God, but that will encourage and help others that might be going through something. Hey, if they can get it through it, maybe I can get through it. Yeah. If God got them through it, can I trust that God will get me through it? And so often what we do is we isolate ourselves and we're not thankful and we don't hear people saying about the praise of God and we don't hear what God's doing in other lives. And we go through life saying, well, does God really know about me? Does God care? No one seems to care. Well, it's because we don't talk enough about God. We just sang that song, I speak the name of Jesus. Do we? Not just here, but out there. Do we go to people, we talk to them, we say, hey, I hear what you're going through. That's a serious problem. I can mourn with you. I can get down and cry with you. I feel sorry for you. However, I also want to tell you, there's a name, Jesus. There's a God that loves you. And God will get you through this. That's who we need to be as a people, speaking the name of Jesus. I went over, my dear brother Shedrick came today, gave him a big hug. I've known you, 15-ish years? And another brothers of ours, I don't know if you knew this story, maybe you did. It wasn't Leslie Capers. It might have been Leslie. Did he have a life sentence? Leslie, a guy down in a prison years ago, a brother of ours, Leslie Capers, he's a believer in Christ. He was telling me about how he was given the death penalty. He was going to prison. And we were praying together and talking about the Lord. And he said, and then there was this judge. And he said, this judge said, I'm sorry you've got the death sentence. He appealed his death sentence for life in prison. And he said, there was this judge that got down with me, held my arms, put his arms around me, hugged me, prayed with me, cried with me. And instead of a death sentence, he gave me life in prison. He said, I owe that judge my life. You know that judge was my wife's father? You tell me God doesn't join things together? He said his name was Judge Olin Underwood out of Montgomery County. I said, Leslie, you know that's my wife's dad. What are the chances of that? But with God, a God incidence. That what? Oh, true. No, I don't think it was Troop. I don't think it was Huber. Yeah, I keep up with him. Whoever it was, though, there was one of those guys got a death sentence. I went from a death sentence to life in prison. And my point is, I said, God had arranged it. He said, that man told me. He said, that man was a Christian man. He said, he prayed with me. He cried with me. He said, if my family needed groceries, what could he do to help? But he said, however, I'm not doing by God's law. I'm doing by man's law. And man's law is you've got life in prison for your crimes. Here's this guy singing his praise. My point is, that's a little story of how God works behind the scenes. We don't see it. We don't know it. But I promise you, I promise you, I promise you, I promise you on the word of God, he is working in your life constantly, trying to pour out blessings on you, trying to pour out good gifts to you. And in the story of we're almost getting to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, I would encourage you, if you ever want a chance, if you ought to read two books to get your timeline right, 1 and 2 Chronicles used to be probably one book, more than likely. This was written about 450 years B.C., depending on which, today we're going to look at David, which is about 500 years before this was written. But 1 and 2 Chronicles do the whole history from Adam. If you look at 1 Chronicles 1:1, it says Adam. It starts with Adam. It goes all the way through Adam's descendants, the first seven to Noah, the flood, Reuben's kids, Joseph's children, Isaac, Jacob. It goes all through the genealogies and stories. It goes all the way up through the Babylonian captivity. That's First and Second Chronicles. So in these two books, you get the whole history pretty much of the Old Testament kind of succinctly put together in a little area. And in First Chronicles 13, I'm just going to briefly, we're going to go real quick, but in First Chronicles 13, Saul was the king. Saul had stepped away from God's will. He took the Ark of the Covenant with him into battle, and the Philistines captured it. God told Saul, don't go into battle. Saul said, unfortunately, we've never done this. Well, I'll do things the way I want to do. I don't care what God said. I'll do things my way. Well, Saul lost that battle, and he lost the Ark of the Covenant. And then the Philistines had the Ark, and the Philistines started getting sicknesses and diseases with the Ark there. And they said, we don't want this thing. You know, give it back to Israel. Get it out of our country. Because ever since this thing's been here, there's been nothing but bad news. And bad stuff happened to us. So they give it back. Saul gets the Ark. He puts it in a city, not in Jerusalem, kind of on the outskirts. He dies. David becomes king. David says, I'm going to bring the Ark of the Lord back to Jerusalem. I'm going to build a tent for it, and I'm going to put the Ark back where it belongs. That's chapters 13, 14. 14 goes through David's house, David's kids, kind of just a background on David. I know I'm going to do this wrong today. Praise the Lord. There's miracles. I get this thing wrong all the time. We'll be singing the third song of Just As I Am again in a second here, because I'll hit the wrong buttons. But David built a house for himself and a tent for the Ark. In chapter 16, verse 4, he assembles the people. But leading up to this, David says, I'm going to bring the Ark of the Lord to Israel. Look at that 13:11. Some of you remember the story. Old Testament, God said the Ark will be carried on poles by the Levites on their shoulders. It's not to be carried on a cart or on a wagon or on some other device. It's the symbolic presence of God. And God said, in this symbolic presence of God, of me being with you, God is with us, Emmanuel. God is with us. I want it to be on the people of the Levite, the Levitical priests, on poles. So David said, well, it's kind of far away, and that's kind of a long walk. So you know what I'm going to do? I know what it says, but I'm going to put it on a cart and have oxen pull it, because that'll be easier. I'm glad we never do that, huh? Here's what God said, however, but that doesn't make sense to me. It'd be easier if we did it on a cart. Well, that's the story where Uzzah is strength. Uzzah, Yah's strength. It's interesting that maybe we'll talk about it if we have chance. You're going to have to listen quick today. I'm speaking up a little quicker because we get a lot to cover, if you've noticed. So you're going to have to listen quickly. Uzi is my strength. Y'all ever know any kind of weapons in Israel called Uzis? That was named after the Hebrew word Uzi, my strength. Yeah. There is a word, a compound name of Jehovah, says Jehovah Uzi, Jehovah my strength. He is our strength. One of my prayers is, Lord, help me be conformed to the image of your Son. Help me be the man you want me to be and not the man that I am. That's one of my regular prayers. My other one is, Lord, give me strength for the day. The days are long. This last week was, this last two or three weeks have been just busy with life and bills and taxes and then plus, in church and ministry, and I'm working with a lady who lost her mom with funeral arrangements, some other things. But I said, my thing is, Lord, I need strength. 7, 8 in the morning it starts, 9, 10 o'clock it's still going. And forgive me, sometimes I get 30 texts a day, I don't respond. It's not a lack of, I'm human. I drop off sometimes. So, but do call, do text. You'll see on my cards here at the church is my personal cell. Day or night, 2 in the morning, you need something, call. I'll do the best I can. You have my word. I'll do the best I can to answer and to help in any way I can. As we should all be one for another. That's how the body works. So in chapter 13, David does this. They're going the ark along the road. The ark starts falling off the cart. You might remember the story. Uzzah puts his hand up to stop it from falling. What happens to Uzzah? Zip, he's dead. Why? God said, don't touch it. But what happened was, I said, don't touch it. But it was falling. I said, don't touch it. I promise you, if God did not want that ark to touch the ground, it would have not have touched the ground. That's the sovereignty of God. You let God do his stuff, we do our stuff. And when he says, don't touch it, I'm not going to put my girls on the spot because they don't like it. too much. They don't like it too much. But we have a rule in our house when they were little. They'll probably be able to finish it. If it's not yours, don't touch it. Thank you. That's a rule. If it's not yours, don't touch it. But Dad, I was in the store and I picked up this $100 vase and I actually dropped it. It broke. If it's not yours, don't touch it. Well, God said, that ark is mine. Don't touch it. But God, what happened was, and folks, there's a whole sermon in this part. You can't do what you think. You do what is obedience. And so then we see down in chapter 13 of verse 11, Uzzah dies. And what's David's response? Oh my, I messed up. I shouldn't have done this. I should have. What? God, how dare you? 13:11, David became angry with God because of David's disobedience. Again, boy, I'm glad we've never done that. God, why'd you let this happen? Why'd you do that? I touched the fire and got a blister on my hand. God, why'd you let me get a blister? Here's an idea. Don't touch fire, you know. But we have the knowledge here, and we don't have the obedience. And we know over and over and over, God doesn't care about your sacrifice. God doesn't care about the blood of bulls, burnt offering, sacrifice, peace offering. He cares about obedience. And we put all this other stuff between us and the Lord. Look, God, look at all this stuff I'm doing. I know I'm disobedient, but you're just going to overlook my disobedience because I'm doing this good stuff, right? No, wrong. Incorrect. We will all have a problem. We go down that road if I'm going to do things my way. That will always lead to trouble, 100% of the time. So David gets mad. We jump up to chapter 14, talks about David's family, and he defeats the Philistines. We get into chapter 15 of the ark. And then I like this part here in chapter 15, verse 15. It says, so the priests and the Levites consecrated themselves. Well, let's go back, actually. I'm going to read here in 1 Chronicles 15, verse 11. Then David summoned Zadok. Now, remember, put your thinking caps on. A week or two ago, who were the descendants of Zadok? They became the group called the Sadducees. Remember, we talked about the Sadducees, and I said they were descendants of Zadok. This is that Zadok. So it says that David summoned Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, and Uriel, Azariah, Joel, Shemaiah, Eliel, and Abinadad, the Levites. Whenever you get to these words and you're reading them, just go quickly over the names. No one knows you mispronounced them. They taught us that in seminary. For that and $100,000, I have my seminary degree. Yeah. You are the heads of the Levitical families. You and your fellow Levites are to consecrate yourselves and bring up the ark of the Lord of God of Israel to a place I have prepared for it. It was because you, the Levites, this is David. It was because you, the Levites, that did not bring it up the first time the Lord broke out his anger against us. Really? The Levites did it? Do you see how David's a little... David commanded a cart be brought, put the ark on the cart, haul it up there. You know, God's anger broke out. You, why, Isaiah, that's you guys. Yeah, it's you Levites didn't do it right. But then verse 15, and this should be a verse that we maybe print out and put it on our refrigerator or computers or something, whatever you look at all day. It says, so the priests and the Levites consecrated themselves in order to bring up the ark of the Lord of God of Israel. And the Levites carried the ark of God with the poles on their shoulders as Moses commanded in accordance with the word of the Lord. That verse should really speak to us. When King David did things his way, disaster. And by the way, after Uzzah died, you can read back in chapter 13 this afternoon or when you get a chance. It says, for 3 months, the ark sat there in Obed-Edom's household. And David was angry and he let it sit there for 3 months. Scripture doesn't tell us, and I'm always very cautious to add, but I think what maybe David did was he read the scriptures. Maybe he went and sought the Lord's will, and it went back. So we get to chapter 15, verse 15. Now we're going to do it according to the way the Lord told us to do it. Because 3 months earlier, he did it according to the way David thought. I'll tell you what, your pastor has done this many times in his life. Makes sense to me to do it this way. Disaster. Lord, I'm going to obey you. Blessing. Always, 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 that's the pattern. And for some reason, we can't seem to learn it. For some reason, we go over and over and over in this cycle of God. Israel for 40 years went in the wilderness. What, a 2 or 3 week trip took them 40 years? Must have been a man driving, I guess. I don't know. We ain't stopping for directions. I know, that free will, yeah. By the way, free will is a good gift from the Lord. Yeah, I wrote a paper on that years ago on free will. Free will is a good gift. What we do with it is on us, not on God. But there are times, the Lord, just take my will. I tell you what, you can pray that. Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Don't, you know, I know I got free will, and I'm going to use my free will to pray I want your will. I don't want my will. That's my free will. Finally, David does it the right way in chapter 15, verse 15. And then we get to chapter 16, verse 12. I'm going to read the first couple verses here, maybe the first seven of chapter 16. 1 Chronicles 16, 1 says, they brought the ark of God, and they set it inside the tent that David had pitched for it, and they presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before God. After David had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins. Yours might say a loaf of bread and some meat and a cake of raisins to each Israelite man and woman. He appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord to extol, thank, and praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Asaph was the chief, and next to him in rank were Zechariah, then Jezeiel, Shemiramoth, Jehite, Mattathiah, Eliab, Benaiah, Obed-Edom, that same Obed-Edom who had the ark, and Jehiel. They were to play the lyres and the harp, or lyres and harps. Asaph was to sound the cymbals. You remember the name Asaph? Where do we see that name? In the Psalms. He wrote a lot of the Psalms. He was I guess that's what he was, a songwriter, a song performer. Asaph was to sound the cymbals, and Benaiah and Jehaziel and the priests were to blow the trumpets. So we've got drums and cymbals and trumpets. We've got a full orchestra here going on here in this passage. If someone's tradition is not to have music, praise the Lord, let them. They don't have to have music. I like music. Amen. Yeah, I like the pianos and stringed instruments and sound of harps and flutes and trumpets and all that stuff. A couple of churches ago I was pastoring, we had a guy, I can't even think of his name, but he did our piano. And sometimes I'd hit something and he'd go, wee, way up there and on that high notes on the piano. And boy, I like that. They don't do that at much places, but he would. I'd like that. We'll have to get that. I have to have a button that presses. And so he brings all these people in. They're skilled. It's also interesting if you read this, it said they were skilled in music. I've often told Ann, man, Ann, I would like to be up here on the praise team. I'd like to sing praises. I'm a joyful singer, not a good one. Lemoyne, that was his name. I just remembered that piano player. I mentioned that story a few weeks ago. Lemoyne, we had a piano over here, and Lemoyne would play, and I would sit here, and Lemoyne said, Dale, could you sit on the other side of the room? And I said, well, what are you talking about? He goes, you throw me off key when I'm playing the piano. I said, I'm so bad that I throw you off key? He said, Pastor, I want to know, this is hard for me to tell you this, but yes, you're fired. But he was really good. Yeah, he used to be a Methodist down in Houston. He played in the big, you know, $100,000 organ. He was that guy. I told someone, I said, we are so lucky to have this guy's really good. And they said, well, you know, he's concert level. That's what he did for his life. And anyway, so they were skilled in music. And then verse 7, it says, that day, David first appointed Asaph and his associates to give praise to the Lord in this manner. So David now is giving all these skilled musicians and singers and trumpet players and harp players and all these people. He said, when you praise, this is the manner you do it. Notice he doesn't say, sit down, put your hand under your backside, and be quiet. That's what we were told. But that's not what David says. What David says here is, give praise to the Lord. In these verses 8 through 22, I think, in verses 8 through 22, you're going to find 10 commands. They're imperatives. Everyone remember back in third grade, imperative means it's a command. God is saying, you do it this way. Often when we read the scriptures, and I said David wrote, I want to put a little nuance on that. The Holy Spirit said through David. The Holy Spirit said through Paul. God wrote the book, not these men. They may have transcribed it as the Spirit breathed into them and inspired them to write these words. They wrote these words. So these 10 commands, give praise to the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, proclaim his name, make him known among the nations what he has done, sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of his wonderful acts, glory in his holy name, Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Most of your translations probably have this in a different form. It's not paragraph form. Have you seen where it's kind of gone into like the psalm form? I think I put that up there. 8:22 is quoted directly from Psalm 105. This chapter 16 has three different psalms that David put together, and 1 Chronicles 16 is actually coming from three different psalms. This is actually a song that's in Psalms 105. It's the exact same word for word. There may be some little minutia changes in the words, but this is the Psalm 105. Verse 10, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Folks, we have to be a people that when we come into worship, our hearts are rejoicing. Now, I want to know, depression is real. Sorrow is real. Heartache, pain, suffering, loss of job, loss of income, loss of freedom, loss of liberty, loss of family, loss of family members, physical loss, emotional loss of family members. I get it. I'm human too. We all suffer those things. All of us. One day, God will wipe away all sorrows and all tears from our eyes, and we'll have eternity in heaven with joy unspeakable. But until that day, we do mourn. We do suffer loss. We do have heartache. I get it. We do. But when we praise the Lord, all of that has to take a back seat to our praise. All of us have to take our problems, our eyes off the problems of this world and off of us, and we have to focus and magnify the Lord. And when we do that, the more we magnify the Lord, I find my problems become less. When I take my eyes off the Lord, my problems grow. If we keep our eyes on our problems, it doesn't say here, when you come into worship, talk about all your problems for hours on end. Complain to your neighbor. Tell everyone about your headaches and your heartaches and go on and on and on. Now we do cast our cares on one another. I want to be careful here. This isn't saying don't ever tell anyone about a problem. We do have to tell other people about problems. Several of you I have on my daily prayer list. Health concerns, family concerns, legal problems, all these different, and it's weighed on me and it's a serious issue and I'm not diminishing those issues. Family problems, relationship problems. I want you to know yesterday I spent about 2 hours and all I did was sat out in the woods by myself with a rifle and the Lord. And for probably hour and 45 minutes of those 2 hours, I just prayed. And I went one by one. I started over here. Lord, be with Jason and Maria and Ed and Susan and Aaron and Rebecca and Elijah and Beck. And I just went through my mind. I got about 85 some names. I didn't get everyone, but I just went through like who sits where and families. When I got to a family, I'd pray for the whole family. Stephen mentioned you and Ron and Crystal, mentioned y'all, the whole family, the Hurt family, by name. And it's important that we do that, that we pray for the Lord, to the Lord, for people specifically, and do intercession. And Lord, this is a serious problem. There's some serious issues. And I come before you, Lord, because I know I don't have the answer. I can't fix these problems. No human can fix some of these problems. But praise God, we have a God that can fix these problems. Praise his name. Tell of his deeds. Hey, I saw years ago, I knew someone was in the same situation. I don't know what God's got for you, but here's what he did for them. He got them through this. They were able to, and now they're better than before. I've had people say, if you'd have told me 5 months ago that we'd be, 6 months, a year ago, be here today, who'd have thought it? No one would have thought it. I could have never imagined how God has poured out blessings on me in this situation. My mind would not have come up with this solution. But we have a God that says, my ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than yours. As high as the stars and the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor can enter the mind of man the things God has for his children, those that love him. You can't come up with his solutions. But his solutions are going to be far better than any solution you could ever come up with. That's the God we serve. So it says here, speak of his wonderful works. Speak of his words. Speak of his works. Look what God has done. Look how God turned this out. God, I would have never thought this would be possible. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Folks, we've got to come to that position spiritually and maybe even physically. Maybe there's a lot of times I get down on my hands and knees and just say, Lord, help. Lord, help. I don't even know the words sometimes other than, Lord, but you know we have an intercessor? And it says, when you don't even have the words to say, he goes to the Father with words and with groanings. When you're on your knees, praise the Lord. Amen. when you're on your knees, you say, Lord, help. I don't know what to do. I don't have answers. Help this situation. The Holy Spirit, straight to the throne room of God. Straight to the throne room of God with those requests. And you don't even have to know the words. God can see right what your needs are. And he starts a solution before you even knew you had the problem. You know, before the foundations of the earth were created, God had a plan that Jesus Christ was going to go to the cross and die for you. Thousands of years before you were born, God said, I see you, and I know you're going to have a problem called sin. And that sin is going to lead to a problem called death. And I'm going to make a solution for you thousands of years before you were even born. That is incredible that we have that kind of God. That's incredible. So the problems you have today, physical, emotional, financial, all these things that we do have as people in a fallen world, all these things, God has a solution. It may not be what you want, but if you're seeking his will, did you know all things work together for good to those that love the Lord and two criteria? I love the Lord. I'm going to do things my way. Well, then all things may not work together for good. The caveat is those that love the Lord and what? Are called according to his purposes. When we do what God has called us to do, we love the Lord and we obey the Lord, all things work together for good. When I do what I want, all things work together for bad. We only have that promise when we love him and do things according to his purposes and his will. And if you don't do that, I often think about Uzzah, the guy that died touching it. I would think we mostly would say, that doesn't make sense because he did the right thing. He did the right thing, but the wrong way. And really, if you had to assign blame to someone, I'd probably put it on David. David set something up that cost Uzzah. Uzzah very likely had a wife, had children, had a family. What's their story? How's that right, God? David did it. Uzzah was just obeying. Obeying who? Man or God? That's why it's so critical. We have to have the discernment from Scripture that says, I know that's what Austin said, or I know that's what Washington said, or I know that's what, but that, if that's not here, then no. The answer is no. You know, when I was, the last church I was down in Harris County, and I think Vicki and you guys may know this, Lena Hidalgo, their health department sent us a letter to the church, said you got to quit doing services. We want to know your church roles and their phone numbers and their addresses. And you ain't getting that. Well, if we don't get this, you know, there could be fines and penalties. Then there's going to be fines and penalties, I guess. I don't know what to tell you. But the answer is no. You're not going to get our membership list and all this data on our members of our church. We're not giving that to you. So my solution was, I'm just moving out of Harris County. But I did tell the deacons there, it was a deacon, I said, if I end up going to jail, so help me, within a week or two, some of you better be here with me. Because that pulpit's not going to stop preaching the name Jesus. And I don't care what they say and what the Harris County says or the cops say, we are proclaiming the name of Jesus. So, did I mention that these 10 verbs here are commands? I think I mentioned that, right? They're commands. So God has given us commands. But what Lena Hidalgo said. Yeah. I don't care what the health department, the Harris County Health Department, they were serious. They had badges. Yeah. But I said, well, there's commands here. Glory in his name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look at the Lord and his strength. Seek his face. That's not just, Lord, help me for strength for the day, but Lord, let me know more of who you are. Let me seek your strength. I need your strength. I can't do a thing without your strength, Lord. Apart from you, I can do nothing. So, Lord, I want your strength and I need you walking with me, but let me turn sometimes and see your face. Let me get closer and understand more. I won't know you perfectly until I see you face to face when I am like you in heaven. But here on earth, I want to see you. I want to see your face. Seek your face, Father. And then in 12, it kind of wraps up. It says, remember the wonders he has done. Remember back what the Lord's done through you in the past. You're here today. The Lord's got you through this far of life. He can get you through the day and tomorrow. Remember what he's done. We have to think back. yeah, there was this time and I got through that, and there was this time and I got through that, and there was this time, and the Lord's got me through all these things. The Lord's got me through some stuff. Maybe he can get me through this one. But the, you know, although past performance is not always indicative of future, it's the number one thing that is, though. You know, you can look at the past and say, did the Lord somehow work this out better than I had planned? Yes. Well, maybe he can work this out better. So remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments that he has pronounced. You, his servants, and the descendants of Israel. And so we have these 10 commands, and then we have some reasons why we do these 10 commandments. These 10 commands. We got the 10 commands, then it says, remember his miracles. So when I think of what he's done for me, I can start saying, you know, I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to declare his good deeds and his words and his works to the world. People need to know who this God is. There's false gods out there called the God of entertainment. Nowhere in this book does it say, blessed is the nation whose God is entertainment. Blessed is the nation whose God is sports. Blessed is the nation whose God is finances or money or endless tariffs or non-tariffs or whatever is the complaint of the day. Blessed is the nation whose God is Jehovah. That's the God we serve. So remember those things. And it says, he's chosen you, the children of Jacob. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever. His promises are eternal. He remembers them. The promises he made for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac, he confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. He says, I will give you the land of Canaan, and the portion of you will inherit it. Remember, they had been out of Canaan from Abraham to now the time of this writing with Ezra. They had been in Babylonian captivity. It's probably been, Abraham would have been, let's see, 1400 BC was Moses. So 1,000 years, they're out of the land. When they wrote this, guess where they were back in? He said, God gave that oath that you're going to come back to this land. 1,000 years later, they came back. He said, remember, he gave you this land. And as they're writing this, where were they? They were in the land again. He gave you this land of Canaan, a portion you will inherit. When you were, but few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from kingdom to kingdom. He allowed no one to oppress them. For their sake, he rebuked kings. And he said, do not touch my anointed ones. Do not do my prophets no harm. He protected us. There's a word in the Bible, Jehovah Nisi, God is my banner. We said Jehovah Uzi, God is my strength. Jehovah Nisi, God is my banner. He's the banner we rally behind. When the enemy comes at us, lift up the name of Jesus. When I've said this, and I'll say it again, when Satan brings up your past, bring up his future. Yeah, amen? Hey, Satan, I know who I was, but I left it at the cross. If you got a problem, you're going to have to go to Jesus about that one. Because he bore my sins to the cross. I bear my sins no more. Oh, what a glorious thought that all my sin, past, present, and future, Jesus took to the cross, nailed them, and he died for them, and they're not mine anymore. As far as the east is from the west, God, remove your sins, and he will remember them no more. Praise God. It was to say, well, you did this, and you did that, and you're go to Jesus. Those are his. By the grace of God, he took all my sin and put it on his son, Jesus. Those are his sins. I don't carry them. But Satan, let's talk over here in Revelation about your future. I'm looking for that bottomless pit. There's a bottomless pit that you're going to be sent into, and eternal torment. You get these little images of Satan down there tormenting people? Satan's going to be tormented. He's tormented as well, and his demons. We get these pictures of people are going to be there, and Satan's demons are going to be tormenting people. They will also be tormented. They're not the tormentors anymore. Right now, you might say, well, they're tormenting me. They are. Satan hates you. He absolutely is in a hot, hostile, angry war to destroy you and destroy every good blessing God's given you. We are in that battle. And sometimes he wins against us. He never wins against Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of heaven's armies. He never wins in that battle. Where we fail is we try to go fight the devil on our own. We don't hold up the banner of Jehovah. We don't hold up, I'm a son of the living God. Well, I'm just going to do things my way, and I'm just going to work around here, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to figure this out, and you'll lose. You will always lose that battle. Always. With the Lord, you cannot lose the battle. Because I'll tell you why. When that stone rolled away and Christ walked out of that grave, the battle's already been won. The war is over. We're doing cleanup for these last 2,000 years. The enemy's on the run. The Old Testament tells us where there's one, they'll chase 100. Where there's two, they'll chase 1,000 of the enemy. You get two praying people together, Lord, stop these demons, stop these powers, stop these spiritual, and you're walking with the Lord, you'll send 10,000 demons to flight. But you try to fight the devil on your own terms, you'll probably lose. You'll always lose. Thank you. No, that's correct. You always lose it on yourself. But bring the Lord and speak of his wonders. Follow these 10 commands. Give thanks. Make him known. Sing his praises. There's a verse here in Malachi. I think I wrote it down here if we get to there. Then those who feared the Lord and they talked with each other, the Lord listened in and heard. Your translation might say he hearkened to them. You know when we talk about the Lord listens in? We start talking about the Lord. You're with someone and say, hey, here's what the Lord would have. Let's pray. Let's seek. Where two or three are gathered in my name, he's right there in the middle of them. So it says here in Malachi, when those that feared the Lord and talked with each other about him, the Lord listened and heard them. He's right there. You bring the Lord in, you've brought the Lord in. He's right there in the midst. He says, a scroll of remembrance. Oh my goodness, I had this. I had to just stop and start praising the Lord for like 10, 15 minutes. We're talking about the Lord, and there's someone in heaven with a scroll right now. They're talking about me right now. Look what it says. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence. I never saw that before. I've read that book hundreds of times, Malachi. I never saw that. We're talking about the Lord right now. There's a scroll in heaven with our names being written down in his presence. They're speaking about you right now, God. They're speaking about your name. They're praising your name. They're praising Jesus. I'm just going to walk out here if that's all you got. No one has an amen? A shout? Look, I'm preaching my heart out. You want a better preacher, you better get better worshiping. A scroll of remembrance is written in the Lord's presence concerning those that feared him and honored his name. One day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. The Lord's going to act one day on this world. And you'll want to be in that group of his treasured possession when he returns. I will spare them just as a father has compassion and spares his son who serves him. That is incredible that we're sitting and we're talking with one another and we bring up the name of Jesus or the Lord and we're talking about spiritual matters. There's an angel in heaven, a scribe in heaven writing down what we're doing. And is doing it, and we're doing it in the presence of the Lord, not in some back room, not in some monastery, in his presence. What are you doing there, Michael? I'm writing down this. We're going to remember this. We're going to write this down. We're going to make a scroll and put these people's names down here. They're talking about you. I don't think we're going to finish today. We're going to have to pick this up next week, I think. Because we're only on slide 4 of like 12. Here's 9, and here's 3 or 2 more on this side, so 11. 11, and we're on screen 4, so we may have to stop here pretty quick, but maybe not. We'll see. We'll stop pretty quick. We'll pick. There's going to be a part 2 of this next week. I know. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Too much here to go over one day. And then the reasons there, as I just kind of alluded to or mentioned to them, it says, because of God's covenant, God has made covenant with you. You know, God doesn't break his covenants. We've said all the way through here, his eternal promises, his everlasting promises, his eternal covenant. Because of God's protection, verses 19 through 22 talks about God's protection. I think in my own life over in the Middle East with the war going on and guns being put on us from Hezbollah, and I think of some of those stories, and then I think my kids know we were in a boating accident years ago, and the boat sank. We were out in the water for 4 or 5 hours, and the waves were white capping. The waves sunk the boat. There was about 11 of us. We 3-4 hours in white water, you know, just storming and thunder and lightning. We got through it. And even the sheriff, it was over in Polk County in Lake Livingston. The sheriff said, how many? 11. How many died? None. They said, none. They said, there was a people on an island, my brother, my dad, they put SOS in the sand. A plane saw it. And they said, we couldn't send out rescue. It was so bad. Our rescue boat said, we can't go out. And when it was so bad, our rescue boats couldn't go out on the lake. We said, we're going to lose somebody. We were actually checking body bags. And they said, every one of us made it. I had gas burns on my side for a long time. I had vitamin E. But I look back and say, the Lord got me through that. Amen. The Lord got me through that boat accident. The Lord got me through the Middle East situation. We got locked in a room by Hezbollah one night. We were scared to death, you know. But I said, the Lord's got me through all these things. When people say today, hey, so-and-so said they don't like you. Okay, does that bother you? I got news for you. I don't like them either. but people say stuff about me, and I'm like, that doesn't bother me at all. And I'll tell you what, when you find your identity in Christ, and you know who you are, and you know whose you are, and you know that you're walking with the Lord closely and following His will, you're going to have the world throw rocks. You're going to have false accusations. You're going to have persecution. You're going to have trials and tribulations. Our Savior did. He had false accusations lobbed at Him. He had lies said about Him. They drug His name through the mud. Didn't bother Him. He focused on what was important. The joy set before Him. He endured death, even the death of the cross. These are but light, small trials that we go through compared to the glory that God's got for us in heaven. This is nothing. We sometimes let the devil get so worked up in our mind and in our spirit. Lord, forgive us when we don't praise You in the storm. We need to praise Him not only after the storm, we need to praise Him during the storm. He is worthy to be praised, regardless of what we're dealing with, regardless of the trials we're experiencing. He's worthy of our praise. And then in 1 Peter, in the New Testament, but you are a chosen people. Almost identical to what it says back here. He says, remember, you're chosen. 1 Peter, you're chosen. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. This is New Testament. When you're in Christ, you are God's special possession. Remember he said a moment ago, you're my treasured possession back in Chronicles? 1 Peter, almost, I think he plagiarized this. By the way, I made up a new word this week, plagiarism. No. Sorry. Sorry about that. Lock the doors. They're trying to get out. Yeah. But I almost think it was plagiarism by Peter until I remember the same author wrote both. The same author wrote both Chronicles and Peter. So he's saying the same thing to the church that he said to ancient Israel. You're my prized possession. You're a holy people. You're a chosen group. And the purpose of him doing that, you remember your Greek, your hina statement. I'm almost sure. I'm going to look it up. I have to check. For the purpose, right after special possession, I'm going to look this up later. There's a thing called hina, H-I-N-A. It means for the purpose of. I'm going to look. I bet it's there. For the purpose that you may speak the praise of him who called you. He's done all this for us so that we could be a people. You know the unsaved. There's people today. You know there's people today still sleeping? There's people that get up today. The thought of going to church or worshiping or praising the Lord doesn't even cross their mind on a Sunday. And some of them are repulsed by it. Folks, we need to be praying for those people. We have to remember, those people are not our enemy. They're not the ones we're fighting against. They're the ones we're fighting for. We are in a hostile, behind the scenes, behind the lines of the enemy. We're in this world still. We are a people that are behind enemy lines. And we've got to start taking some hostages and taking them with us. Laugh all you want. But we got to start taking hostages and getting them into the kingdom of light. Amen. Saying, hey, there's a way out of here. The way is Jesus. Here's what Jesus said. I am the way. I'm the way out of that mess. Yes. Some of us here today can probably say, you know, I once was part of that mess. Yes. And I got a way out. And the way was Jesus. Amen. Who wants to stand up and say something? Anybody? Amen. Ron? Come up here and say something. We're going to take, if you got something to say, we're going to finish with this. Right now is your chance to give praise to the Lord in front of your church family. If you're not going to say it here, you're not going to say it out there. Amen. So you get up here. I know you got something to say. Go ahead, Ron. Lead us off.
I want to say,
if you need to leave, leave, but we're staying until we're done.
Without Jesus and God, our mighty, I wouldn't still be here. I wouldn't still be married to this woman here.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
A DWI saved my marriage and saved me to the point where I'm now 8 years sober as well.
Amen. Broke that demon. Broke that demon.
And to add to that, he's become a man that I can follow.
Amen.
I was struggling last weekend. The enemy got a hold of me and crazy crystal came out. He hit his knees and started praying.
Amen. Praise Jesus.
I just want to say that I am thankful that God gave me the privilege of leading my mom to the Lord in her 80s before she died. And then I also got to lead my dad to the Lord on Resurrection Sunday a year before he died.
Amen. Yeah. Taking hostages.
I was saved out of drugs, alcohol, literal witchcraft, and brought right into Jesus in one night.
Amen, Chris.
I need to thank God for what he did for Adam. He brought him a woman. I had a wonderful woman for 47 years as my wife that we buried from this church. And then I went into deep depression. I was a Christian, but not very good. And
don't say that, Paul.
And sitting before me in Bible class was this curly-haired wonder that has made me a better man. She has inspired me. She's brought me closer to God. What more can you ask of any one woman? And if my blessings overflow, I have had two wonderful brothers, one of whom went home to the Lord last month, and we praise God for that. The other one is such a wonderful brother. We don't agree about anything on politics, but we put that nonsense aside. And
amen.
He took such great care of my mother and my brother in their final days. I will forever be thankful to God to have such a great brother.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. I just want to say God delivered me out of my sin.
Praise
spent,
the Lord.
Lived a life of sin after my parents' divorce. I ended up going to prison at the age of 24, and I was released last year after doing 30 years, 6 months, and 21 days in prison. And God blessed me with a beautiful wife, Deborah, during
Amen.
That time that supports me and stands by me. And while I was in prison, I was also fortunate to attend the seminary program where your pastor was my classroom professor. And that's why I'm here still supporting what God has done in my life through him. So I want to say to everyone here, you members, you all have an awesome pastor as a leader. And that's why me and my wife are here in support of what God has already done in my life through Pastor Inman. So thank y'all.
Thank you. I didn't mention awesome. I knew him in prison. I just said I knew him. But now that he said it, that's why awesome. I didn't say that part.
Awesome testimonies. I just want to say God is so faithful. He's faithful in big things, large things. He's healing my husband right now with getting him off of steroid treatment, which he has depended on, and he's doing well. It's been kind of rough, but he's doing well. So praise his name for that. But the second thing is, and this is probably going to be kind of strange, but I was at the YMCA, and this lady just befriended me, and I had never seen her before, and she invited me to a Christian ballet class. I grew up dancing. I danced all the way through college. So when I heard there was a Christian ballet class, and she happened to be a pastor's wife, we start with a prayer. In the middle of the class, we give praises. At the end of the class, we have prayer. And it's all Christian music. So that's been a blessing to me. I mean, he blesses us in the small things as well.
Amen.
I need to praise my Father, the Lord, today because he has brought me from a very dark place in life. I came from a breed of people that would never be here. And he has shown me how to be the light in their lives. He has taught me how to be a blessing to the people around me. I understand today that my only purpose in life is to be of maximum service to God and the people around me. I struggle and fight Amen. With it every day. I am still selfish. I am still a child. In my spirit, but I am growing, and I see it, and I can hear him, and I can see him in every part of my life, and I am so grateful.
And this is our brother Frederick. Some of you don't know him.
Thank you, brother.
I've had the privilege of visiting with Frederick this last week a couple times, and make sure you get to know Frederick. He's a great guy.
Well, I want to thank God
for allowing me to feel joy in my heart. I spent so much of my early life looking for happiness, and I wasn't happy. And then when he saved me, I started focusing on him, and I truly felt happiness and joy. And I also want to say that the way to joy is to be thankful, because you can't be unhappy if you're thankful.
So amen. Amen.
Find something to be thankful about, and you will find joy.
Thank you. Well, I just want to be very, very grateful and thankful that I was able to get baptized. That I was able to get baptized. I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful that the Lord delivered my beautiful daughter, Zipporah, and she decided to get baptized as well.
Amen.
I have a lot I could say, so I'm really thankful to be here. I'm really thankful for all you guys. And I'm here because life has thrown me some curveballs. It's been real nasty. And I just decided to finally get all the way down on my knees and stay there. And so, guys, I just want to say, it seems like life goes up and down and up and down and up and down. But I've learned really strongly these last 2 weeks that if you will surrender and forgive others and just be obedient, it doesn't go like this. It goes like this.
That's right. Amen.
So, glory to the King, and I love this guy already.
I was saying, this is Aaron. I talked to him this last week or two. He's a great guy. Get to know him as well.
Hey, yeah, Aaron. I can't wait to meet each and every one of you.
Yeah.
I just want to thank God for bringing me out of darkness early on before the pandemic. Like, I knew that God existed, but I never gave my heart to him. And he had me introduce myself to my beautiful wife. God's really showed me his love and his grace and his mercy through her. And Pastor, I love you.
Love you too, brother. But yeah, I've known Chance about two or three years now, and we've done a lot together and visited. Mm-hmm. He's a great guy. Get to know Chance as well.
Yeah, I can't wait to meet all of y'all and get to know y'all better as well.
And I just wanted to thank God for my lovely husband. He brought me back to the Lord.
Amen.
I always thought that I needed a man who put me first, but I needed a man who put God first.
Amen.
And he's taught me how to take everything away from myself. Like, I have to do the finances. I have to do this. I have to do that. I have to do this for everybody. But I need to let it go and let, Lord, I can't be God in everybody's life.
Amen.
I have to let it go and let God take care of it. And since I've done that, I have just had a sense of peace that I've never felt before.
Praise the Lord.
I want to thank my God for saving me and my daughter from a broken family and addiction and lust. And now I'm right back where I was, but he's still with me.
Thank you, Brianna. This is Brianna. Keep her in your prayers, and you get to know Brianna, too. We visited this week a couple times, and a lot of these people were praising, but remember, we need to mourn with those that mourn and pray and pray with those that pray and lift up those and rejoice with those that rejoice. But keep bringing in your prayers and get to know her too. She's a wonderful Christian young lady.
Let the redeemer of the Lord say so.
So
we can never be ashamed to stand and speak of the goodness of God, his mercy and
Amen.
His grace. My prayer has always been, oh Lord, remember me. Every day it's remember me. And every day he remembers me. So I have to give him thanks for every breath I take. And you see me wobbling around. Every step I make, I give him thanks for. And I thank him. I thank him for all of you and this beautiful church as well.
Amen.
14 years ago, I met my late wife. She was not a Christian. I was on the verge of, I was in between. I grew up Christian, but was in between. And over the years, I pushed to go to church, and we couldn't find one that suited us, and we finally found the Woodlands Bible Church. As she deteriorated from her condition that she had, and many of y'all who have been our family watched it, she and I were baptized here at this church.
Amen.
I watched her accept the Lord, and just weeks before she passed away, she said her first prayer with my help.
Amen.
God can only do that. And as we go through the things that we went through, the ups and downs, it was only when we put our faith in the Lord, it was only when we gave everything to Him that He lifted us up and He made our life better and things became better. And as me and my daughter attend this church and meet people and continue to do things, life, even though it's hard, and I've been through that depression, I've been through the loneliness, I can see the light.
Amen.
I can see things are getting better. It's slow, but we're on God's time, not ours.
Amen. Amen,
all we
brother.
Can do is wait and be patient.
Thank you. Thank you, Josh.
Anybody else?
We do love you, brother. Next, we're going to close now. We're about to do communion as our praise team comes forward. We're going to pick this up next week. I didn't think I'd get four chapters done today, but I gave it a shot. But we're going to pick this up next week, and next week will be a very similar service to this one. We're going to stay here in Chronicles. We're not going back to Mark yet. But if you've got something to praise, I want you to be thinking, if you didn't get a chance today, you're going to have a chance next week. I mentioned about 2 weeks ago, we have got to raise our level of worship. We can't just come in and check box, and we heard a story from the pastor, a good sermon, and they'll see you next Sunday. We've got to raise that level up. I told you 8 or 9 months ago, I'm looking forward to the day that these neighbors over here complain that we're too loud on Sunday morning. Ryan Gable, our constable, is a buddy of mine. So when he comes in, I'll tell him, Ryan, just calm down. You know, we won't vote for you next go-round. But anyway, it would be wonderful to just shout to the Lord and from our hearts just pour out his praises and sing his praises. So next week we're going to pick up here where we left off. Try to come back next week. For visitors today, thank you so much for visiting and worshiping with us today. This is a little different than normal, but it's Thanksgiving, and every Sunday should be a day like this. So what we do is we fence our table, meaning if you've been baptized in a like faith, submerged, and you would like to take communion with us, number one, you're a believer in Christ and been baptized, we encourage you to take communion with us. If not, we would encourage you to maybe refrain, but the scripture says, let every man examine himself. If you need a few moments, Lord, if there's any wicked way in me, remove it, forgive me this week. I ask for your mercies and forgiveness before I take communion. I want to make sure I'm taking it worthily. You may need a moment or two to pray, and after you've prayed, just help yourself to the side elements. Bread and, I keep saying wine. Bread and grape juice, unfermented wine. Both of those are on the side elements here, the bread and the cup, just help yourself. As our praise, if you want to take communion right when you get it, that's fine. If not, we'll take it together as a church family. For those that want to hold on and take it as a church family, we'll take it as a church family together at the end of this song.